Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in Nowhere's Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I'm fired up to announce that after an insanely long time, way too long, rejoining us in the huddle, the all-powerful moderator behind a Warriors subreddit page with more than 500,000 members, a longtime Warriors guru, an enormous presence on Golden State Twitter, and a guy who thinks Draymond may or may not be dismantling his own legacy one technical at a time, Mr. Eric Jed. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, thanks for having me back, guys. Nice to see you both today.
Gosh, it's great seeing you. Weird circumstance, you know, once more back into the breach with the Draymond thing, and at the risk of kind of bringing you behind the curtain. So the prep for these episodes, the way I always start it is the intro. You know, I want to get a little something that not only makes you feel good and kind of lets the audience know why we should be looking forward to all of your insight, but something personal from the Twitter page or something, you know, something that sticks out. And so this one I'm going through, and it's normally just a fun little exercise. And then when I find your quote of, he may be dismantling his legacy, it was less fun for me, Eric. You caught my fucking attention, man. Yeah. So let's jump in. I don't think there's an introduction necessary on what happened last night. Mm-hmm. My first question for you is, does this change the way you view Draymond Green?
At this point, no. You'll hear people say actions speak louder than words. The repair work needs to be done. There comes a point in a toxic relationship where words are no longer meaningful and apologies are empty. And I think we've crossed that bridge a while ago. And so the idea, like, there's nothing I can say, I just got to show you. But when you continue to fuck it up over and over, it's like, not only are the words empty, but the actions aren't corrected. So it's like, what? There's nothing he can say, in my opinion, for me. Not that he's trying to satisfy me. It's his teammates that it comes down to. But the words are meaningless and the actions are clear. I do not expect that Draymond Green will ever change. Yep. And I don't know why anyone would think that at this point. I don't know. It's exhaustive. I think Steve has said that at times, like, the situation's exhaustive. I'm tired of thinking about it. I'm frustrated as a fan. I'm watching a season, two seasons in a row, slip between our fingers, not solely because of the actions of Draymond Green, but it's a big part of it. This is a franchise that has leaned on him for his basketball expertise. They're paying him quite well. He's getting a big portion of the salary, and they need certain things out of him. And if you can't play the fucking game, you can't help your team. And it's over and over and over. I don't know what else to say. I'm not his keeper. He doesn't care what I say, but we're seeing it time and time again. The dude doesn't fucking play. He runs his mouth, gets kicked out. He's not there. You saw Steph very demonstrative. We've also said winning fixes everything. And last night it wasn't all tears and boo-hoos because there was a masterclass that took place without him. But what does this look like if we didn't win last night? How frustrated would everyone be?
Tiered answers, all right? Did last night make me furious? Fuck yes. Of course it did. Made all of us furious. So look, we've watched a bunch of different versions of this. Last night featured a new flavor, the new flavor of Steph Curry seemingly almost crying after desperately trying to throw himself in between that bullet and Draymond. You know, yeah. I mean, he did fucking everything he could. And so am I angry? Yeah. Draymond is playing with Steph's legacy. When Draymond got suspended for all those games, I whined into this microphone that Steph only has a few seasons to chase that magical fifth title, and fucking with that legacy is unacceptable. I'll add another thing. If Steph doesn't get this team into the play-in, and he's going to need some help, if Steph doesn't get this team into the play-in, you don't think that Steph haters are going to use the fact that he wasn't good enough to get them into the play-in for the remainder of his time in the league? Of course they are. They're messing with his legacy, man. We're already hearing questions about his leadership now, so I can't stand it. Did it change my opinion on Draymond? No. How could it?
It's the same shit.
How could it, dude? I have a friend of more than 30 years who I love. I love I love my time with him. I find him entertaining. There's a million things I love about him. You know what I don't like? He's the least reliable dude on earth. He's told me he's going to come to Thanksgiving. He didn't show up. I've invited him 1,000 times. So Eric, a year ago, legitimately, conversation with myself, decided, okay, going to keep having this relationship with you. Want to keep having him over and enjoy the things you like, accept the downsides. Don't be fucking surprised when he doesn't show up. I've made this acceptance with Draymond. Well, you wouldn't be fucking surprised. I understand what he gives us. You know, I think the same thing is for the Warriors. I think that's what causes all this frustration. We need him. So I'm not surprised by it. You know, frustrated, but not surprised.
I think taking your friend here, whose name I won't mention, and trying to make it relatable to the Warriors situation is that you know that he's this flaky dude, right? And you love having him around. And he's been invited to Thanksgiving dinner. But the problem is that he's the dude that's supposed to bring the turkey and the mashed potatoes. And now everyone's hungry and the meal is ruined. And it's just like, where are we left? Like, he was tasked with carrying a huge portion of the load. And not only did he not show up and tell the jokes, he didn't bring the mains.
Absolutely. Well, and the other distinction I think that you're kind of hitting on here, that, you know, relationships are chock filled with things we like and we don't like, you know, and sports relationships are the same. But generally speaking, they're mutually exclusive. The things I don't like about a relationship are the things that I still love that person in spite of. For Draymond, the reason we love him, his passion is the reason why we're stuck in this abusive relationship with him, man, as fans. You know, we need that. Maxime, where are you? Has this changed anything?
I can't. I feel like I'm the only one. I wasn't that angry with Draymond for when this happened last night. Sure, it helps that we ended up winning. I feel like this is the first real time that we've had old Draymond rear his ugly head since he was suspended. Since he came back, Steve Kerr has said, hey, he's been really impressed with how Draymond has carried himself. He even said, I think as recently as 2 days ago, something to the effect of he's really revitalized his career. I was really worried about him, and here he is on the other side of it. If somebody says, hey, I had this problem, I've had it my whole life, we can't expect them to, when they finally admit to it for the first time ever and say, oh, okay, I'm taking steps to take care of it. If they have a lapse, that's to be expected.
I hope so. I don't have a lot of faith that this was like one more slip up and on the journey to a grand recovery. I don't know. I don't buy it.
The last night, it wasn't like someone came and punched him in the face 5 times. And after the fourth, he just couldn't handle it anymore. And his emotions took over. It was 3 minutes into a game on a foul that wasn't called on him.
Yeah.
You know, and then the two definitive rules, having never played 1 second in the NBA, I can tell you two things you can't do to the refs. One, don't touch them. Two, if you're going to shithouse him, you're going to take a shot at him, don't make eye contact. Yeah. Like, these are these unspoken rules. That's what you hear over and over again. For the first tech, Draymond went over there and touched him. then touched the ref. Then Steph came over, threw himself in between, and then Draymond made eye contact with that fool and
called him a slur.
Drop some shit. So like, I don't.
And in his post game or his like or in his podcast, he even said, he's like, yeah, I can't do that. I said what I said. I meant to say what I said, but I actually thought my back was turned when I said it. I didn't think he'd hear me say it. That was his reasoning. He's like, I thought my shoulder was turned. I didn't think he'd actually see and hear what
he's
I
not
said.
Wrong. He should have turned.
So, Maxine, but you didn't.
Post game, did you see Steph's trip into the tunnel and then he gives the hug to Draymond right before they go into the locker room? When we saw Draymond there, did you think contrite? Did he look like someone who's like, fuck, slip up?
No.
You know, like, I know that's not what I'm working towards, but like, I am, you know, so like, I'm fine. Or did it seem like someone was like, oh, hey, on to the next, you know, like, oh, these things happen.
Yeah. Fair. I mean, that's a fair counter argument. And in the moment, I was like, ooh, he did not learn anything from this at all. Again, winning heals all wounds. I think that his relationship with Steph is such that if Steph is, he's trying to say, hey, like, you did it. Thank you. I think he's basically selflessly saying, you carried this. You deserve to be celebrating the win. Oh. It's my own job off to the side to figure out my shit.
Ed, I'm going to jump to the last question and let me underline how thankful I am that Draymond is on this team. You know, there's suggestions now. People are throwing out, like, should they look at trades and those type of things? Let me go ahead and say definitively for me, fuck no. And the way I'll say it is, if I had a magic button in front of me, and if I press that magic button, it took out the Hulk from Bruce Banner, you know, because Dre has got this incredible combination of intelligence and passion and strength. I mean, and he veers in between. At his best, he's, you know, Hulk at the end of the Avengers movies. He's always angry and can kind of, you know, keep things under control. But if I had the power to take this passion out of Draymond somehow with a magic button, would I, as a fan of the Golden State Warriors? No. Absolutely, conclusively, absolutely not. No. There's a reason why he was set to go in the second round, why he fell to us, because no one looked at his body and thought it'd be capable of doing what it's been doing. One of the reasons he's been able to anchor a dynastic defense, despite being shorter and smaller than everyone he's guarding most of the time, is that passion, man, is that unbridled response when he needs it. So I think that this is the downside. I've referred to Draymond as a junkyard dog that bites. I stick with that. All the things that make him an incredible asset also make him an incredible liability occasionally. And I'm willing to accept it. It drives me crazy. You know, I was furious last night. It's not what I'd like to have happen. But if this is the trade-off, okay, man, you know, it is what it is.
I'm somewhere in between you guys. Because when I saw it last night, I wasn't angry. I was just like, here we go again. Why would I expect anything else? Do I want Draymond traded? No. I think that I have an appropriate appreciation for who he is as a basketball player and how he flourishes when he's playing within our offense and that what he's contributed. But he's no longer, like, I don't have the same emotional connection that I would about like trading Steph or Clay. Like, do I want to trade Draymond? No. Like, I think he's great on our team. He's a great basketball player for our team. But let me look at what those trades might be. Like, give me some names. Give me some names, and then I'll probably say no. But maybe I won't. I don't know. We're on our way out of a play-in spot this year. So how good am I supposed to be feeling about how good this team is?
I can't decide, and I don't have a PhD. I don't have the education to be able to give you a real answer to this. Yeah. But I can't decide if his response to emotional stimulus should have the same kind of excuse that you'd have to like physical stimulus. If someone kicks me in the leg, I don't decide to feel pain. I feel pain. Just like that's what happens. You know, when somebody presses Draymond emotionally, is it a choice? Is he choosing to be like, okay, no, I'm going to go over the top and you know, have this reaction? Or is it like a pain response? Is that just how he processes this stuff? Because if it's a choice, then it is unambiguously selfish. You know, like that thing last night wasn't for the team. You know, as he like tumbled into emotion, that was for him.
Yeah. He was firing up his teammates when they're down five and need to rally.
He's reacting to what he was feeling, you know, and that's it. But if it's not a choice, different analysis.
I think it's both though, right? Because this is, I got to tread lightly here because this is like teetering on being just very rude. But this is something we teach children. Like, this is impulse control. Like, and you wouldn't expect someone who is less than 10 years old to have a good grasp on this. But when you're in your 30s and you should do better than this, and in my opinion. Is that a fair way to say that? Like, I'm trying not to lay this on too thick. Like,
I understand.
Is it involuntary? Yes, but it can be sharpened up, and we expect that from people in society.
Yeah, and that's. I will say that as a married man, do I occasionally have reactions like within an argument that I'm not fucking proud of and didn't necessarily plan on? Oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, like I don't know if all of my reactions are all planned. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they fire out of me. And I'm older than 10. You know, I'm not the picture of maturity. So I don't know if you want to follow me, but I'm willing to say I certainly fall into that fucking category.
This is maybe a dangerous question, but like, but does it happen like in front of your peers and colleagues at work?
I'd like to tell you no.
The answer is no.
Have I had anger? So like, in my job is competitive. You know, I have moments when we are when someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. Have there been times in there when I've said things maybe I shouldn't? Yeah. Have there been times in there when I've said things that hurt my side? I'd like to say no. You know, and that's kind of where Draymond stepped over the line on this, is because he takes himself out of the game.
Have you ever been overruled by a judge 3 minutes into a deposition and called them a bitch ass slur? Just curious.
No,
just curious.
And I've never been kicked out of anything I've done professionally. You know, there's never been a moment when there's like, oh.
I'm just checking. I'm just checking.
I've had some other ugly moments, but I won't share those with you. In fact, let me change the question. The other weird thing, and I alluded to it, is people are now questioning Steph's leadership. In fact, we've got that quote from Jason Williams. Let's play it here.
I'm getting texts from people that I really value their decision, right? High level people. And what these texts are reading is, well, how about the leadership of Stephen Curry? That's where these conversations are going. And in my brain, right, processing information, Molly.
Wait, what do you mean? How about the leadership of Stephen Curry? They're calling Steph out?
Yes.
Oh.
Right? For him not controlling Draymond. So in my brain, the way I process that is because I know Steph. I spent time around Steph. We were talking about this during Get Up. We wish we could have a camcorder in Steph's car, right? All the things that Steph would be saying to his wife and how he's frustrated about, because he's one of the most competitive dudes you ever meet.
No doubt.
Draymond Green is diminishing the ultimate legacy of how people are looking at the leadership of Stephen Curry. That's what's happening right now.
The only thing I will say, Jay, I think that's in a group of people.
I agree.
I don't think that's like the universal mentality, right, is to think about Steph. And where are you in this, Steph, at all?
Boys, a couple of follow-ups on this and then a question, okay? Follow-up number one, I hate it. I think it's such a bullshit move when reporters open up by saying other people are saying. Jason Williams, if you're saying that his leadership is being
just say
his leadership is being questioned. Two, Twitter and the internet continue to be undefeated. A little history lesson. Jason Williams was the number two overall pick. He went to Chicago. Mm-hmm. I remember wanting him. And his career got derailed by a motorcycle accident. I give you this fact because I saw one of the responses to this clip on ESPN was somebody saying, why didn't anybody give you, Jason, a leadership position on not riding motorcycles, which I thought was such an ugly, unnecessary move. But Eric, all right, address it. Does this make you question Steph's leadership?
Of course not, because I'm not an idiot. But I didn't even watch this whole clip because I got to the part where he said, in my brain, and I paused it and I turned it off because I was like, there's nothing this dude's going to say that's going to be meaningful at all. This is complete blabber. When this moment happened here with Draymond looking at the camera, I had a buddy of mine who will remain nameless text me. He's like, that's that look that you give your girlfriend's friends after she's given you a hug and they've all told her to break up with you. I fired off a tweet, just like, full disclosure, I just admitted I didn't watch that full video, but I did quote tweet it, like, with the, like, in my mind, and it was like the gif of Homer Simpson, like his thoughts with like the monkey clashing the cymbals. It's like, there's no thought behind a quote like that. This dude's filling airtime. It's the stupidest take I've heard in a little while. Of course it means nothing. Like, Steph is not Draymond's keeper. He's his own man. This is silly. He's clearly frustrated. It's ridiculous.
But, you know, if you want to shift it a little bit, I do think that there is some blame to go around, and I don't, maybe Steve Kerr is the face that is going to get this blame to make it easier for me to make the point, but I think it extends a little bit more into the Warriors organization in general. Look, people will point at four rings, right? And that's enough of a justification, but like, this behavior was fostered by an organization that kept on saying, well, yeah, this is who Draymond is. Sure, like, you get the technicals because you need that fiery passion. And so I don't know that Steph is to blame because he's on the court and he's just a product of this Warriors organization. But I do think that this has been egged on a little bit more than some other organization might have done. And so I don't think it's entirely just on Draymond.
Steph showed leadership last night. To suggest he did nothing is simply wrong. How you got to read a situation and then react in a way that you know the person in the situation. Last night, everybody's watching. Steph couldn't go in and hold Draymond down and scream at him, let this go. You know, that's going to become an even bigger issue. They're gonna show that highlight a million times. What he did is he went and stood right by him and on two occasions used the back of his hand and touched Draymond's tummy. Like, let him know, hit his stomach. Like, I'm here, dude, please stop. And you know what it reminded me of? At the risk of too many relationship things, If I go on a double date with my wife and they're on the other side of the table and I'm talking about something I shouldn't be.
She's giving you the kick.
She goes down and squeezes my knee. Yeah. You know, and like, because if she had come out and said something demonstrative, Bram, stop doing this.
You would have
doubled up. Yeah, it's going to get ugly. And so, you know, the same way my wife would try to handle me, you know, like if I keep going after she squeezes that knee, everybody knows I've done too much, you know?
Yeah. You'll hear about it later.
Yeah, dude, he tried to stop that. I respected the fucking leadership he showed. I don't question it. And then, you know, can you change somebody? I don't know what whoever it is who's texting Jason Williams, what are they expecting him to do? I mean, like, what do they mean? How would you change it? I'm sure they've talked about this a million times. It seems like an asinine point if you ask me.
I just feel like, what bozos are in Jason Williams' context? They're like, hey, man, after last night, I just kind of text him. Like, what's up with Steph, man? Is he a true leader? What's going on? Like, why? He's having these conversations between the game's end.
I think he has burner phones that he just uses to text himself.
He texts himself,
like, what do you guys think about Steph's leadership? And he's like, I'm getting these texts about Steph's leadership. They're like, you wouldn't believe the fucking issues that are coming up here.
Man, I was thinking about your little comment about like getting the nudge under the table. In another analogy, I'm not suggesting that Steph is in a fatherly role to Draymond. That's not where I'm going with this, although that is going to be a little bit of what I say here. But think about the dad who's angry at his kid for something they did wrong and he yells at him and what that intrinsically does to that kid versus like the kid screws something up and the dad is just so disappointed in him. And I'm not saying this was a calculated response by Steph. I don't think he's like, hey man, let me look really disappointed and emotional here. Shot a couple of tears. Maybe Draymond will see it later and get his shit together. But if that's his actual visceral disappointed reaction in that moment, like, is Steph screaming in Draymond's face going to – no, it's not going to do anything. But, like, is there a chance Draymond sees this and feels like, man, I don't want to let down Steph. Like, everything we do it for Steph. Like, that's just – that's why I'm doing this podcast. I'm doing it for Steph, man. Like, it's the Andre philosophy. We do it for Steph.
You know, and to make this a compliment as opposed to, you know, take down a Draymond. Steph has done so many legendary things in historic scenarios that we tend to ignore the like simple superhero shit. Last night was a simple superhero moment. The idea that, you know, it's that he's fighting for the 10th slot, not the finals. And so we're not evaluating the way we normally would for a guy of his caliber. But in a time where he had every excuse to let go of the rope, man, like every excuse that the shot wasn't falling, his brother had fucking left him, they're on a back-to-back, every excuse. And instead of letting go of the rope, he held on to it and then had such an emotional victory, he beat the shit out of two chairs to finish it before he goes into the locker room. So just, I mean, success and legendary actions drip off this gentleman, you know, in meaningless games for the 10th place in the fucking Western Conference. He is still having moments that deserve to be celebrated.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Eric, let's say you get 5 minutes. You can sit down with Draymond and you are guaranteed he's going to listen to you. Do you have a message? You know, what would you say? Or is it just a waste? Would that be 5 minutes of wasted time for both of you?
I don't know. Probably. It's probably a waste. I mean, I've got no wisdom to impart onto him that he'll be able to listen to. He's heard it all. All like the calculated opinions. And he's probably read a couple of my tweets and has no fucking interest in anything I have to say to him or about him. Maybe he just thanked me for being a fan that's interested in what he's up to in his career. I don't know.
Maxime, you offered to meditate with KD for years. What would you, if you, same opportunity for you, would you have a take for him?
First of all, of course, that offer is very much extended to Draymond. Draymond, I know if you want to come
show.
By. Yeah, listen, you and KD, we can have a meditation circle. We can meet at each other's places at different times. I'm sorry, my home is probably slightly smaller square footage than yours. I don't have any advice for him. I think the point that we're trying to make is this is so embedded at this point. You know, anything that's going to change has to come from within. It has to be a long time. Draymond doesn't have that much time left in his career, so as much as I would like to see him make this shift and what I was saying earlier come true, where he eventually actually climbs his way out of this emotional hole that he's in, I don't think it's going to happen in a meaningful way in the time that he has left to be an excellent basketball player for this team. I just would hope that he would chill out a little bit, especially because at this point he's continuing to tarnish his post-playing career opportunities. And, you know, as a guy that has two of his jerseys hanging in my closet, every single time I look at them, I think to myself more and more, I don't know that I can wear these in public. I don't know that I can defend this guy. And that just sucks as somebody who used to be this one of my favorite players. It's just not great in general. So maybe he hears that and that's, you know, a wider opportunity to think about the legacy that he's impacting. But I'm sure he's like, fuck you. I don't give a shit about your legacy.
Yeah. No.
This is what I was saying in that tweet. That it's like, what is a successful end of Draymond Green's career look like? I mean, he won a chip in 2022, maybe despite some of his actions. But looking past that, like, if he doesn't win another one, are we flaming out? Or maybe we don't win another one, but he's not, like, the butt of the joke on his way out. Is that the right way to say that? Like, they're not laughing with him. They're laughing at him.
We've gotten, I mean, here's a weird way to phrase this. I don't think he's dismantling legacy. I think he's cementing his legacy. I think this has always been his legacy. I think that we were distracted by success in the beginning. We were winning championships and shit, so we didn't really care about the text and everything he was getting. I'll put it a different way. We needed it, man. We were getting pushed around by everybody. Draymond came in and changed that. And it's all the things that, you know, what allowed him to change that reputation is also what's making him susceptible to being fucking thrown out. And so, you know, if he is a champion, always will be, and he's a hothead, always will be, you know, but we're just seeing both sides of it. So this doesn't change anything for me. You know, I have the same level of frustration, the same level of reverence, the same level of respect, and the same level of anger. It's just, you know, it's this ongoing cycle, man. It's like being angry at a skunk for making, you know, it smell around you. Like, you fucking know, dude. Like, it's not, how many times can I be like, no, again? You know, it smells still. Like, no, that's what's up, dude. It happens. It's part of the show.
It's very the Dark Knight, right? It's like you die a hero or stick around long enough to see yourself become the villain.
That's like, exactly right. I think that's
2022 is it, bro. I know there's money. I know there's money to be made, but it's looking grim.
Well, and I'll tell you right now that we're now looking forward. Yeah. This year I've given up on our title chances this year. Call me crazy. And so I really feel like they're trying to figure things out going into next year. If next year they have some deep playoff run, let's say it just happens. you know, it'll be immediately forgotten. All these technicals, all these problems, that suspension, nobody will care, man. You know, off it'll go. And it'll just continue to cement his legacy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking forward, boys. So the last four games, just a continued exercise in inconsistency. Two shitburger frustrating losses to the Pacers and the Wolves, followed by two very satisfying and needed wins against the Heat and the Magic. And those inconsistent results, boys, were further buoyed by inconsistent roster decisions. Two losses, Clay's on the bench. Two wins, Clay is out on the floor starting over Pajemski, even though there have been no injuries to suggest that change. Yeah. So, first question, going forward, Eric, should Clay Thompson just be our surefire starting shooting guard for the remainder of this season?
I saw you tweet that poll, and I voted on it. And I don't know if it tells you who votes which way. I don't remember how polls work on Twitter. But I said that the answer is no. And the reason that I said the answer is no is because I do not think that this is a decision that has to be made. And my approach to it is not, hey, I think that Clay needs to start, or I think that Clay needs to come off the bench in the second unit. What I think is important is that Clay is willing to do either at this point and has demonstrated that he has been successful in both roles. Whereas for a few years, there's been echoes of this same conversation. And what we've heard is that Clay was not okay with the idea of coming off the bench. And I don't know exactly like how good he feels about it specifically, but outwardly he seems to be demonstrating a piece about letting go of this and letting Steve make these decisions if he thinks that it will be better for the lineup. And so I don't know that I feel like Clay needs to be a starter the rest of the way out. I think there's games that it will make sense, and I'll be stoked to see that because Clay is my favorite Warrior player of all time. But if Steve genuinely thinks that him coming off the bench is what the secret sauce is on any given night, I'm thankful that Clay's ready to do that and hopefully can light up a stat sheet. That's where I'm at with it.
What do you think?
My answer.
No, I agree. And it's also, it's right. I think there's you don't want to ride too hard when the times are good, and you don't want to sink too low when the times are bad. I mean, Clay's looking great, but we had enough of a body of work that said, oh, okay, there's something going on here. I think it was the right call to move him to the bench. I also think it's the right call to continue to, you know, to not just say, oh, well, Pajemski hasn't been playing his best recently. Maybe he's taking charges too hard at the expense of focusing on other aspects of his game or whatever you want to point at. But I don't think that means that he should be relegated. I think it's been a feather in Steve's cap against those that say that he doesn't do enough player development to really stick with Pajemski. And so, you know, and I love that we're continuing to do that because it's giving him extended run, and you could see a future where Pajemski is taking over the reins from Steph while JK is sort of the primary point of attack. We need a great point guard if JK is going to be the type of dude to give us deep playoff runs in the future. So, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the two timeline approach, but I do like what it allows us to do for his development.
Eric, what has to happen? So today is what, the 27th or something? There's like 10 games left. Focusing just from now going forward, because if I'd asked you this before the season, the answer is different. Focusing just right now until the end of the year, what has to happen for you to enter the offseason thinking, okay, you know, good. Like at least we did X. So what would that be? Like what would make this successful going forward?
I don't know exactly what measurables we need to look at to determine success. The overarching feeling needs to be that this needs to be a team that shows that they are actively improving. And that's going to come from the youth, because we know what Steph is capable of. It does matter what Steph does, because when your best guy plays good, people play good around him. But the key to the future and the success, when you look at the salary and where the team is are we ready to see Kuminga? So we have already seen Kuminga this year become an offensive force and someone we can depend on. Can we see him improve his efficiency with his time with the ball in his hands? This means tightening up ball watching, turnovers, making smart plays, making efficient plays. If he could be more efficient in that way, the whole game is going to change for the whole team, in my opinion. Maxime touched on being critical about Steve and player development. I've been super vocal about that over the last couple years. And I earlier this season offered a formal Twitter apology to Steve Kerr, saying that, hey, if I'm going to slam you for Moses' lack of development and PBJ, being bad at basketball and Ryan Rollins being bad at basketball and taking to petty theft because he's bad at basketball. Really wild story. But like if that was my position, that Steve can't develop, I can't have it both ways. And seeing how good Big T and Brandon and JK have been this year, I really needed to walk that back and be like, okay, if I'm going to hammer him from that other stuff, I got to give praise. These young guys this year, maybe it was Bob Myers all along. I don't know what to say.
I got distracted by the Ryan Rollins thing. For those who weren't paying attention after Ryan, I think it was in Washington, right? And he was constantly like $500 from Target through the self checkout lane, which is his own thing and no details. I'll just add this. I think those self checkout lanes, the Safeway by my house has one of those. I think they're so scandalous. I hope they're getting robbed blind. The idea that they're like, you know who we should make work for us? Our customers. We should fire some of our employees and make our customers our employees without paying them. Fuck them. I hope there's Ryan Rollins taking shit from them all the time. Maybe we should cut this, but you know, hey, there it is. As far as what to make this season successful. So I meant what I said. It's next year. You know, if what a success is taking a step closer to a title, another title for Steph, even if you're not going to win it this year, then I would like them to answer some questions. You know, heading into next year, there's a lot of questions a championship team needs to be able to answer. And the Warriors have answers for some of them, maybe some of the biggest. You know, do you have a star who can be the best player on a championship team? Yes.
Yes.
You know, not a lot of people can say that. Do you have a coach who can negotiate through them? Yes. Do you have an owner who will give you the assets? Yes. You know, we have these things that not everybody has. But we also have some pretty big open questions. Who is going to be our second leading scorer? Who is Klay Thompson on this team next year? And what should his contract be? I'd like them to be working towards that. So notice I didn't answer that Klay question. You know, do I think he should start or not? That's why. I mean, if this is what allows them to figure it out, fine. But if we're going to go through this year and have it not be a championship year, which is not, I'd like them to be working towards that, man. You know, and look, these questions are still open. I have who's going to be the second leading scorer in the next game? I have no idea. I don't know. Who's Wiggins now? I don't know. You know, so that's what I'd like. I'd like some information on that because they can't just keep guessing and hoping. We're going to need to know if that's how they're going to work out their salary structure next year.
You got to get Chris Paul off this team, man. It's fucking cursed. Get him up out of here. It's never going to work. We'll never win with Amir. I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it.
That was said, and if you're him too, assuming the season ends the way, it kind of feels like it is, you know, and you kind of compromised, you know, you froze the Cold War between you to be like, you know what, maybe we can win. And then you don't, and you still froze the Cold War. It's a weird feel. You know, it's definitely actually, we hate you again. Time to get out.
Yeah. Get out to pasture, man. We're done.
Last question, but it needs a clip to set up. So the Houston Rockets are speeding up the standings. They've won 10 straight. They came back against Oklahoma City last night at a big victory. They are still one game behind your Golden State Warriors for that final play-in spot. And it's been flamed up a little bit because Draymond talked shit about Houston a while back. I think he said, I don't care what Houston's doing, whatever it is. Well, last night, before the Warriors won, but after the Rockets did, Tari Eason dropped this on Instagram.
Warriors, come out to play! Warriors, come out to play! Yeah, it's like that.
Now, my question to you, Eric, is going to be, is Tari Eason justified in dropping this? All right, but first, some stats. Okay, so I told you they've come back 10 games and they have been on fire. And Draymond, you know, may or may not have started this. Yeah. So let me read you Tari Eason's stats over this 10 game win streak. Then you tell me whether or not he's justified in doing this. All right. Points per game, 0.0. Assists per game, 0.0. Rebounds per game, 0.0. Block, steals, deflection, 0.0. Plus, minus, 0.0. Field goal percentage, 0.0. Free throw percentage, 0.0. Three-point percentage, 0.0. Games played, 0.0. Tari Eason has been hurt since January, was hurt before January. He was on my fantasy team. I can confirm he has done nothing this year. Nothing this year. Eric, justified? You know, because he's on the team, you know, like, and they are coming back. Are there any rules to social media shithousing? Like, do you have to be a part of your team's success to participate in it? Or, you know, he's got Rockets on his jersey, so say what he wants.
I would just give him a shout out and say we're enthusiastic for all Warriors fans. He's clearly a big fan of the team. He's following along, paying attention to what the Dubs are up to. He clearly doesn't play basketball. Like, he hasn't for a while. He's been no part of his team's success. This feels like a situation where he's waiting to be able to discuss, like, being in the same sphere as someone who's been relevant in recent history. There's no reason for him to be talking about the Warriors. He's talking shit when he's, like, inching up on the 10th seed, like, maybe not making the play-in. What are we doing? Like, the Warriors are here because we fumbled the bag, like, not because we scrapped our way up to this. So, nice little underdog story for him here. You know, he's a big time cheerleader and clearly a fan of Steph and the gang. So shout out to that guy.
Were you not triggered? That triggered me. It triggered me the first time I saw it. It triggered me right now.
I don't give a shit. It's completely me. I don't know who this guy is.
I didn't even like the camera angle. I didn't like the Blair Witch angle that it was on his face. I didn't like his fucking vocal inflection. Is there any chance he's seen the movie that quote came from? I'm going to say no. I don't even know if he, like, understands the reference that he's fucking making, man. Like, it triggered me. Maxime, did it make you angry? Or
yeah, I did not. I did not enjoy rewatching that just now. It kind of gave me, like, goosebumps in a bad way. No, I'm not a fan of this.
You can tell that someone's a nobody or, like, a D-list celebrity when you Google their name and, like, Wikipedia isn't the first thing that comes up. Like, dude doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. There's, like, not enough information on him out there to let you know what he's been up to in his career.
Well, it made me almost instantaneously angry. It made me angry again listening now. But I will say, man, do I love the NBA. Yeah, you know, like the idea that, like, now, you know how much I care about that 10th seed? You know, like, how badly I'd like Tari Eason to watch us go play and lose in LA? Like, I really suddenly, like, it means the world to me, you know? So, like, it is what it is. You've hooked me in, Tari Eason, you beautiful son of a bitch. You know, I hope to God that you go
some
down.
If
we've been giving Draymond shit, let's give him a little bit of credit. Here's Draymond Green's response to that Tari Eason clip.
Like, that's when I saw it, I wasn't surprised at all. I am a little surprised that he hasn't played in the game since January 1st. And so it's kind of tough to come out yelling, come out and play, and you're not going to play. It puts a lot of strain on your guys. Like, we can't get out there and help them.
Oh, man.
The so many levels of Draymond are reflected in that he can say that completely unironically, giving him shit about not
when
playing.
When he's not playing.
While doing a podcast to explain why, you know, like, oh, sorry.
Why he's not playing.
Should have been out there and playing. I love him. You know, it is what it is. Cementing his legacy. Eric, missed you, man. Welcome back, dude. It's
thanks
been
for having me.
Long. Yeah, we love your takes. For people who need far more Eric Jett in their life, where'd they go?
Yeah, man, check us out at reddit.com/r/warriors, community of 600,000 plus Claytheists posting memes about the Warriors all day long. You can follow us on Twitter at GSWReddit. Follow my guy Perks, dishing out some stats at GSWCBA. And tune into the Warriors Huddle, where occasionally I'm invited and I'm super enthusiastic to just talk hoops with you guys. This is what I love to do.
We love to have you. You know about us if you listen to this show. We're on social media everywhere. If you'd like to participate with the show, give us a review, give us a question, do anything. Give us something good or bad. You can shoot it an email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Oh, with that in mind, go Warriors, go Draymond. And hopefully, we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.